Blog Talk Radio.
Alexa, shut down.
I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist. And I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not the politics. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human. And haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. I'm a human, yes I am a child like her, and when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier, I'm not a jihadist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a what, I am a who, I'm not black. I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human. Haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And when you look into her eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human. And I have been suffering for too long. There's a reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Yeah, I'm a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? There's a reason for hope. Keep on holding on. When you look into her eyes, deep down there's a light.
All right, beautiful song. My name is Yamsuf Arif. I, along with Katria, we're not Christians. We're not Muslims. We're not Jews. What should it matter to you? We are Hebrew Israelites, children of the Most High. Hey, I'm tripping, eh? But I'm for real, though. We bring to you the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We are not a religion. We are a nation that worships the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, who we bring to you in these studies. Now, along with that, we study our ancient ones. Find out what mistakes we made to get us in this universal captivity. And how can we get some relief from these mistakes until the Most High come back to bring us home? And there are some relief mechanisms in these studies, along with these codes. And we try to ascertain as much as we can in these studies. And we try to not only that study our enemies, along with that strangers, people of different nations, not necessarily our enemies. But certainly there are some within different nations that are our enemies. We try to put a pulse on all of this. We try to be cognizant of everything that goes on in this universe, our prison. That's all we, because we're universally captured. And that's why we study. We bring these studies to you, urgently needed studies. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. That my soul and all that is within me praise him. Along with Katra, he going to say the very same thing, I assure you. But that being said, without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is home. Hot. Shalom.
Michelle, my soul, and all that's in theory, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yahweh. For the Yahweh, Sister Nisan Yah, Sister Abiyah, all the family that's out there. Shalom, may the Most High bless y'all. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, brother. How you doing? How's the family doing? May he bless you too.
All praise, everything is well. Give thanks for another day. Life, health, and strength. Opportunity to share his words. Wow. On it. Praise y'all.
Praise y'all, Brother Katra. Well, Katra has no more commentaries. I certainly don't either. And so we're about to begin our studies today coming from the book of Shemal. Some of you call it Samuel. That is not the correct pronunciation. And so his name is Shemuel. Also, Cartrell, we studied in the book, the final segment of these studies will be in Yeshayahu. A lot of you call it Isaiah. That Greek, Roman / interpretation is not the correct pronunciation of his brother's name. It's Yeshayahu. That's his pronunciation of his name. Not just bastardized version of Shemuel Samuel, neither Isaiah. So without further ado, let's get to know a lot about our king in waiting, King Dawid, the kind of person he is. Chapter 17, David and Goliath, this Philistine. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Shochu, which belongs to Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda. They had camped between Shochu and Azekah and Ephes, Damim. And King Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. They encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and the Israelites stood on a mountain on the other, two different mountains with a valley between them. A champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. You know, if you know those old English movies about King Arthur and whatnot, you have some understanding what mail is. This chain links together. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had a bronze armor. He had bronze armor on his legs, a bronze javelin between his shoulder. Let's throw it, folks. Now the staff, and he had a spear. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shear bearer, went before him so he could use all his instruments. When he stood and cried, and he had a sword. And when he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of King Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against you and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When King Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Y'all don't want us to be like that. Because fear it keeps you in a state of not doing nothing. You're stuck like a deer in the headlight. That's why y'all don't want us to be afraid, because you got to be able to know when to move, how to move, and when to move, and be movable. You can't let fear keep you locked down. But our brothers and sisters were locked down because at that juncture in our history, they weren't all on point with y'all. And see, when you ain't on point with y'all, you can be locked down and frozen in fear. Y'all don't want us to be fearful of anything and anyone. And he said, now, the king to be David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem in Yehuda, whose name was Jesse, his daddy, who had 8 sons. The man was old, Jesse, and advanced in years in the days of King Saul. The 3 oldest of Jesse had gone to follow King Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shemaiah. King David, in coming, was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed King Saul. But the king in waiting, King David, occasionally went up, he had reason, and returned from King Saul to feed his father's sheep. He would go up to be with his brother, then come back to his daddy's house to feed the sheep, because he was King Saul's armor bearer. And the Philistines drew near and presented this Philistine Goliath, drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son, king in waiting, David, take now your brothers an ephah of this dried grain, these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brother's doing, and bring back the news of them. Now, King Saul and all they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So the king in waiting, King David, rose early in the morning to go about the task what his father asked him to do, left the sheep with the keeper, took the things and went as Jesse commanded him, a very obedient son. He came to the camp as the army was going out to fight, shouting for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And the king in waiting, David, left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then he talked with them. There was the champion, the Philistines of God, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words that he had spoken those 40 days. But this first time, young king in waiting, David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Y'all don't want you scared. So the men of Israel, because it's a frozen, you got to be active. You got to be ready to move at all times. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up to king, the young king in coming? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. It shall be that man who kills him. The king will enrich with great riches. Will give him his daughter, young Michal, and give his father's whoever that person has from exemption from taxes in Israel. Then the up-and-coming king, young David, spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should defy the armies of the living Elohim? He said, man, well, he don't get what? He said, that's beside the point. That's beside the point, the physical stuff you're talking about. The fact of the matter is this. He is defying Yah by virtue of defying his army. That's what I'm concerned. I ain't concerned about young Michal, his daughter. I'm not concerned about the tax exemptions. I'm concerned about his reproach to the Elohim by virtue of what he's saying. And so, the people answered him in this manner, saying, shall it be done for the man who kills him? Now, the oldest brother gonna chastise young bro. Now, Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, because he was feeling righteously indignated, young King David to be. And the way he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against the up-and-coming young King David. He said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? You should be about your work instead of in this, but you in the wrong business. Now, you don't know what you're talking about. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. I know how you is, young bro. All right? I know you're a little arrogant, and I know you feeling yourself, for you have come down to see the battle. That's why you're really here. Unbeknownst to Eliab, he was down there on instruction of his father to bring them something to eat. But the brother, you know, knowing his baby brother, tried to judge baby bro. But judge baby bro had a right to speak just like everybody else. Had a, you know, big bro always trying to run something, ain't they? And King David, up and coming, said, what have I done now? Is that not a cause? I mean, don't I have a right to say what I'm saying in this regard? Him defying the Elohim, the armies of Yah? Don't I got a right to speak on this matter? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And he didn't stop him. And these people asked him as the first one did. When the words of up-and-coming young King David spoke were heard, somebody went and ran back to King Saul. They reported him to King Saul, and he sent for him. The up-and-coming young King David said to King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go. And young King David said to him, to King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because he's running his mouth off. Your servant will go and fight. I ain't just put my mouth on it. I want to put my hand on it for defying the Elohim, talking about his army. So I want to lay hands on Goliath. I ain't scared, so to speak. And King Saul said, up and coming, young King David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Well, you are youth. And he is a man of war from him. He's been training this from his youth. But King David, up and coming King David, in defense of himself, said to King Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, me. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I didn't run and hide. I didn't tremble in the field. I trusted in the Elohim to the fact. And this ain't read in them, but he's implying this, inferring in our suggesting this. I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from his mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by the beard, rather lion or bear. It didn't read like that, but he's inferring this would happen. By the beard and struck it and killed it. I didn't run off. Your servant had killed, I killed both lion and bear. Uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of them, because he trusted in Yah. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living Elohim, the real and true God. Moreover, it didn't read like that, but that's what he's saying. Moreover, up and coming young King David said, Yah has delivered me from the paw of the lion, his trust, from the paw of the bear, his trust. He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine, his trust, and that's how all our trust ought to be in regards to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, not frozen like deer in headlights. And like my wife, if you are deer, you may get run over. That's a joke, but it's true. You may get run over. True being said, King Saul said to up-and-coming King David, go and Yah be with you. My hand's out of the matter. You made your choice, and you deal with your choice and your trust in Yah. So King David clothed up-and-coming King David. No, King Saul clothed up-and-coming King David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet to his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail, which I told you, what they look like. Of becoming king, David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. He had not tested them. And up and coming, young King David said to King Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. I ain't used to this. So King, up and coming, young King David took them off. And here's what he took. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself five stones, smooth stones, from the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And let me tell you something about that sling. A lot of y'all think a sling like a little, like you. A sling thrower right back then, a sling thrower that know how to throw that sling can bust and crack your head open. And they were deadly with the aim of those slings. I ain't talking about these modern day contemporary little sling you got. I'm talking about you had to been trained and be proficient in the art of slinging that thing with one hand and letting go and you know, running around and around and around and around you go. And you had to be proficient in your aim. And obviously we will find out King David, becoming King David was quite proficient in throwing it.
Well, we already know he was proficient because he told King Saul that he killed lions and bears, right?
Exactly.
He took the same equipment that he killed the lions and the bears with into the battle with Goliath.
Exactly.
A stick and a slingshot.
and you know what, Katria? He took one more thing, the most important thing. His trust in Yah. His trust in Yah.
He gave Yah that credit too, didn't he? He ain't going to do so. I'll kill bears and lions by my own hand, but he gave credit to Yah.
Yeah. And that's what we always all had to do in regards to any situation where you may find yourself in and Yah give you relief. Don't take the credit. Don't take, I did it by virtue of my intelligence. I did it by virtue of my muscles. I did it by virtue of my money. No, you give Yah the credit. Thanks to Yah. Praise Yah. That's why I got me some relief from this matter. He gave me the wisdom and understanding. He gave me the strength. He gave me the means. Just like King David.
As a matter of fact.
Right. Yeah, Katria.
He said he delivered me from the lion and the bear.
Exactly.
And guess who knew
exactly.
it? Guess who knew
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Guess who knew it? His big brother, Eliab.
Yeah.
Eliab knew that King David had killed lions and bears.
He didn't challenge it.
He didn't step in.
He didn't challenge it.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. And that's what Eliab was probably thinking. Because you killed them bears and that lion, you think that you can fight a war. And King David's like, yeah, because I've killed them, I know I could kill this man.
I can.
And
you know
why
about that
no more money.
But he shut Big Bro up too when he said what he said.
Yeah.
When he said, the Most High has delivered me by virtue I've fought lions and bears and I ain't come off on the losing end. He shut Big Bro up.
And he had to be at least 7 years older than him because he had seven other brothers and sisters, seven other brothers.
At least the minimum 7 years older than him.
And I'm sure he was older than that, more than 7 years
exactly.
older than him.
And
exactly. he just snatched him up and sent him home. But he knew his little baby brother was a bad man.
exactly. He wasn't soft.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Brother Cartier. Thank you, fellow students. Thank you very much, brother. And he drew near to the Philistines, Goliath. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to young up-and-coming King David. And a man who bore the shield was before him. His shield bearer. And Saul, of becoming young King David, he disdained him. He called, oh man, look at this, sent this little skinny boy out here. He's only a youth, ruddy, reddish brown, and good looking. That ain't gonna save him. So I suspect he's saying to himself. So the Philistine said to a becoming young King David, am I a dog? That you come with me with sticks, you think I want to play, so to speak? And the Philistine cursed young up-and-coming King David by his gods. And the Philistine said to up-and-coming young King David, come to me. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts. I'm a do the do to you, young boy, so to speak. Then young up and coming King David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword. Okay, I'm gonna flip it up on you. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But what did he have? As we say, he came on the field of battle with the most important thing he had, and we have, and our fight in this day-to-day existence in this captivity. I come to you in the name of the Yah of hosts, the Elohim of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, Yah will deliver you into my hands. He didn't come and say, let's all get along. Why you mistreat our folk? Why you kill all the Israelites? We love y'all. Can y'all just love us back? He didn't come out like that. He said, I will strike you, take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know. Why? That there is a Elohim in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that Yah does not save with sword, just because you got all that armament. You got missiles. You got tanks. You got RPGs, so to speak. So all the assembly shall know that Yah does not save with the sword and the spear. For the battle is Yah's. It's a foregone conclusion. And he will give you into our hands. So it was.
So.
But if you was, yeah, go ahead, Israel.
This is why I love King David, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we hear him speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he's speaking with such brilliance in this matter right here.
Exactly.
It's as if he's been studying the Most High all his life, which I'm sure mm-hmm. he has. And his life is short because he's a boy. But he dedicated himself to know the Most High to the degree that he don't fear nothing. And imagine our 17-year-old, 18-year-old youth with the same mindset that King David has here, right here.
Exactly. Imagine that.
That's what we need. That's why we got to teach our children early and often.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Kachel. Bless his holy name. Praise Yah. You're certainly correct. Thank you very much. Every day and often as we possibly can, to have that, be infused with that trust and confidence in Yah. Praise Yah. Then King David said to the Philistine, we read that.
48.
So it was, verse 48. So it was when the Philistines, speaking in reference to Goliath, arose and came near to meet up-and-coming young King David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't shuffle. He didn't hesitate. He didn't procrastinate. He put it on the move, running straight to him. Then up-and-coming young King David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine Goliath in his forehead. So that the stone, he hit the boy so hard, he hit him so hard, the stone was sank into his forehead. That's just like an RPG missile. And he fell on his face to the earth by the mercy and the strength of Yah. So young up-and-coming King David prevailed over the Philistine Goliath with a sling and a stone by virtue of Yah. It didn't say read like that, but I'm telling you that's what way it was. And struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no, because he didn't have King Saul's sword. So there was no sword in the hand of King David. Therefore, young up-and-coming King David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Yehuda arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistine fell along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. When the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their tents and took the head of the Philistine, and King Yahs are becoming King David, took the head of Goliath, the Philistine, and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor, this Philistine, in his tent. He kept his armor. He stripped him buck naked, took his armor, kept it in his tent. And when King Saul saw up and coming young King David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, like he forgot who the boy was. The boy played music for you. The boy is your armor bearer. He done came to you to put his armor on. Why is you so quick to want to forget? Whose son is this you? You all know. And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I don't know. But the king should have knew. So the king said, and cry, whose son this is, this young man had. He already knew. He didn't want to know. Then his young up-and-coming King David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Abner took him and brought him before King Saul with the head of the Philistine, Goliath, in his hand. And King Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So King, up-and-coming King David answered, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, like you ought to know this, the Bethlehemite. Come on now. I'm the one playing music for you. I'm your armor bearer. How are you so quick to forget? I just came to you and defended the Most High, but you quick to forget. That's how folks is, Cartrell. They don't want to know who he is. Okay? It's just that simple. When you know Yah, folks don't want to know you, but that's all right. It's good to be known by the Elohim Yah than by anybody, king of whatever, anybody. Best to be known by the Elohim. Praise Yah and bless his holy name, Brother Cartrell. You have the mic, my brother and friend.
Praise Yah and bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Yeah, he didn't know who King David was because he was in fear of the great giant Goliath. So everything went out of his mind. He didn't know his mother from his father to his sister or his brother. I don't know. Who this guy?
Yeah.
You worry about the lion.
Yeah. Who that boy is?
But when he saw the boy, he realized that the boy had supreme courage. Mm. Here it is. He's standing before this boy with the guy's head who he feared for at least 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Got his head in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that the fear of King David entered into King Saul that day too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he was scared of that boy. That's why he wanted to know exactly who he was. Who is
that boy?
Is.
Ain't nothing talking about that young brother. I better keep my eyes on him. Even told Abner who he is. He slick want Abner to keep eyes on him too.
And him with such a big family, King Saul had 3 sons of Jesse in his army already. He should have known.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that, like you said, he's his armor bearer. That's the guy that puts the armor on you, my king.
Right.
And I play that music for you that calms you down. Obviously, in order for him to be calmed down, he don't recognize anything that's going on around him. So he has to be calmed down.
Exactly.
And then King David calming him down with the harp. He don't really know what's going on. He just found out that, you know, that music makes him calm. That's all he worried about.
Exactly.
So now Yah puts King David front and center stage early. You're not just going to be the king's musician and armor bearer. You're going to be the one that fights the battle. Eliab say, why are you down here? To see the battle? No, he came down there to fight the battle. Little bit of his brother know.
Exactly.
All praises. Love
all
King
praises. We both do, brother. We both do. Yeah, the whole nation should, Cartrell. Truth be told. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students, for bearing with us in these studies. And Cartrell is about to present the last segment of these studies, which are in the book of Yeshayahu and chapter 18. This proclamation is against Ethiopia. Ethiopia.
Nah, Kush.
Cush.
That's the Greek name. Ethiopia is the Greek name. It's like Egypt.
Okay. All right.
So we got to.
This part.
We got to do.
I stand corrected. I stand corrected. This proclamation is against Cush. Thank you, Brother Country.
And we know who Cush is, right? Who's Cush?
Exactly. Ham.
Ham's firstborn son.
Right.
And we just read about King David and the Philistines, King Saul and the Philistines. Who were they? They were Mizraim too. You know the Philistines
right.
are Mizraim. They come from the same father as the people we call Egyptians. They were cousins.
Exactly.
So now we're dealing with another Hermetic, so-called melanated black people. They like to call us black. But ain't nothing black
right.
about us. It's just melanated
right.
skin. We're dealing with another melanated people.
Right.
Cush, who people today call Ethiopians. And what
exactly.
is the prophecy for them? It says, land of whirling wings that is beyond the rivers of Cush. And I imagine the whirling wings are different types of insects.
Exactly.
Which sends ambassadors by the sea and vessels of papyrus on the waters. Go, you swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth, to a people feared near and far. You see, Ethiopians, you know, they're tall and smooth, right? They got that jet black skin, smooth, tall.
Exactly.
At ancient times, a mighty nation and conquering whose lands the rivers divide. All you inhabitants of the world, you who dwell on the earth, when a signal is raised on the mountains, look, when a trumpet is blown here, but thus Yah said to me, I will quietly look for my dwelling, like clear heat and sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the blossom is over and the flower becomes a ripening grape, he cuts off the shoot with pruning hooks, and the spreading branches he lops off and clears away. They shall all of them be left to the birds of prey of the mountains, and to the beasts of the earth, and to the birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. I don't know what that means, but that's, I guess, a spiritual, what they call it, metaphor?
Exactly.
And I imagine that he's applying this to the Assyrians that were harassing Israel. The peace
right.
of the earth winter on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yah says at that time, will be brought to Yah of hosts from a people tall and smooth, from a people seared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the river divides, to Mount Zion, the place of the name of Yah of hosts. So you see, Cush is going to bring a tribute to the Most High in the end of days. Hasn't
mm-hmm.
happened yet. But the prophet Yeshayahu is saying that it will happen in these end times.
Exactly. Exactly. Praise Yah, Brother Cadre.
Praise
Yah. Thank you for those studies. Cadre and I have done our job, our part. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to meditate on Yah by virtue of his studies. It's up to you to make the application by virtue of the studies. It's up to you to realize, to activate any plan of Yah. It works if you work it. It becomes, what we're saying is this. It becomes an innate nature of you. It becomes second nature. Matter of fact, it should be first nature to you. As far as the Elohim is concerned, in every aspect of your life. Just like universal white race supremacy controls every aspect of your lives. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub should cover every aspect of your life, and certainly your fears, in order to govern them and conquer them. Praise Yah, and bless his holy name. And just as King Dawid alluded to, my trust is not in my arm and not in military might. My trust is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, because I'm right, and you know I'm right, what he's alluding to, because I'm following Yah. I'm not leaning to my own understanding, which he did. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, any closing remarks and our comments? Or shalom's goodbyes?
I was just thinking about that rock that hit Goliath in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get hit in the head with a rock in your forehead, you're going to have a big mm-hmm. knot on it.
Right.
But King David ain't need room for the knot because the rock embedded his head. It should have killed him right away.
That was an RPG, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
That was an RPG from Yah. By way of King Dawah's young arm. Yeah.
And he went to battle with a stick and a sling and came out victorious. And
praise
we should
Yah.
Have that same type of confidence in the Most High. And he didn't call on nobody's name. He didn't call on the Son's name. He didn't call on the Holy Ghost's name. He called on the name of God. You don't even know the Holy Ghost's name. But anyway. He said, in the name of the God of our fathers. And we better know who that is. Because we'll get victory every time. We'll get victory every time as long as we're standing with Yah and Yah is fighting our battles for us. And that's the critical lesson that he taught us tonight, that Yah fights our battles for us. He fought
exactly.
the battle for King David back then when he was dealing with lions and bears and Goliath. Yeah. And we should have that same confidence in the Most High in every adversity that we face. Just call on Yah and put your problems in his hands.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
And Kyle, you know, we spoke earlier today before the show. Had come and regard about someone. When I activate Yah on you, Psalm 91, don't come to me about your sorry. You better go to the LM, because I ain't playing. When I activate Psalm 91 on you, don't come to me talking about your sorry. I don't want to hear none of that. Go to the LM. Maybe he'll hear you. Praise Yah.
And that's a potent spiritual prayer, and it works every time.
It works if you work it. It works if you work it.
And if you write with it, you can't be evil and try to be using the 91st Psalm on people because it'll backfire on you.
Yeah. I try to make sure I'm always right. I don't try to do it as a vendetta, vengeance, or whatnot. I just act the Most High according to his real, activate Psalm 91 on this individual. I get out the way. If he don't cool, if he do cool. And that's the way I do it. I don't try to do no vengeance. I'm going to get them because they don't like me. I'm going to get them because they got a fancy car. They got a big house. I don't do that petty stuff. When I ask the Most High to activate Psalm 91 on you, it's something serious. So I might suggest don't come crying to me talking about you sorry. Better go to the LOM. He see you. He see what you did, what you're doing. He going to deal with you accordingly. The ditch you tried to dig, you're going to fall in it. The stone you tried to crush me with, you're going to be crushed by it. And I ain't going to feel sorry for you. No ways, shape, form, or fashion. Praise Yah and bless his holy name for being my rock, my shield, my buckler, and my high tower, and my armament. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother
Don't forget about the place of refuge. What he said.
Yep, my place of refuge.
Don't bear false witness against your brother.
Hallelujah, brother. Say that again, brother. Say that again. Don't what?
Don't bear false witness against your brother. Because the penalty that you was expecting for him is going to backfire and hit you.
And you're going to get it.
Yeah.
You're going to get it.
Yep.
The King Dawah sitting in the podium saying, y'all don't love her, Philistine. Why y'all don't love her? Why can't we just all get along? We ain't did nothing to you. Man, come on now. Stop it.
But you notice the Philistine reneged on their vow. Because Goliath was saying, if a man of Israel beats me, kills me, we will be your servants. That was the deal, right? But if I kill the men of Tishben, you guys are going to be our servants. That was the deal. But did they renege on the deal?
What'd that tell you, Cottrell? Our enemy, just like the Native Americans said, white man speak with forked tongue.
Black man, too. The Philistines are black men.
Yeah, black men, too. Speak with forked tongue. Y'all said put your trust only in him. And that's what we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. We love each other. We respect each other. But We put our day-to-day existence and trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and bless and praise his holy name and his holy name only. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's why the Philistines fell that day, because they were not men of their words. Instead of complying to the pact that Goliath was making, they ran and they got smashed.
Exactly. Exactly.
So y'all don't play with words. That's why we have to value our words and always speak positive, think positive, and be really connected with the Most High. And King David's words took effect. He cut Goliath's head off, fed his body to the beasts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
All praises.
All praises. And Contrail is so, so right in regards to the studies of the Most High. So, so right. It works, brothers and sisters, if you work it. Activate the plan. We love you. Shalom and good night.
I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist. And I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not the politician. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human. And haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. I'm a human. Yes, I am a child like her. And when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier. I'm not a jihadist. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a what. I am a who. I'm not black. And I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human. Haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And when you look into her eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human. And I have been suffering for too long. Till the reason.